We love what God does here at this church, and we love the way that God is ministering here. But when they come here, they're family, and they just come here, and they love us, and we love them, and I just love that about them, because they're just so full of God's love, and they just want to share that, and they just fit right in here. It's like that puzzle piece. So we want to welcome the Olivers to come up here right now and to have their way. Praise God. So let's give them a big welcome. Hallelujah. Welcome home.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. I am shook up this morning with the presence of the Lord. I don't normally stumble, but I'll tell you what. I'd rather be stumbling than not feeling the presence of the Lord. God is so good. Let's give him a great big hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is so good. You may be seated. I'd like somebody to come back up to the keyboard this morning. I am really drunk on the Lord. I tell you, I have felt his presence here today. And I've been weeping, and I've been crying. This has been terrific. This has been terrific. People that are not here just don't know what they're missing. Oh, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. And I had a lot of little things I was going to say to you, but the Lord's leading me into a different direction. Because, you know, the presence that we have felt here, you can't find this anyplace else. In God's presence, there is so much that we can have. So much. The kids did a wonderful job singing today. Didn't they do a great job leading us in worship and praise? Oh. And again, I was crying during their singing, praising and worshiping the Lord. And I can't help it. Whenever I get in the presence of the Lord, tears just come from my eyes, because I realize just how great he is, just a little bit that I feel. And I think of where the Lord's brought me from. I could have been up here holding up a cardboard sign just like anybody else in here, because Jesus has brought us from great places that we should have been lost forever. But he brought us into his great presence, which is worth everything. It's worth everything. And kids, today, what we want you to do more than anything is feel Jesus. Have you felt Jesus this morning? Raise your hand if you felt Jesus this morning. What a precious gift. And Jesus has so much more for us. I taught just a little message in the last church we were at, and I handed out things to the kids, and they were so excited for even the little things that I gave them. And at the end, I said, now we're going to do like Jesus wants to do with you. I'm going to give you more when you leave. And their mouth just dropped. And I said, that's the way Jesus is. He just doesn't want to give you a little bit, but when you stay in his presence, he'll keep giving you more and more and more. That's the way God is. He's a great God. Let's give him a hand clap of praise one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So today, I want you to stay in the presence of the Lord. And that means concentrating and doing the best that you can. And I'm going to help you out just a little bit to help you concentrate, okay? Because what I want you to do to begin with is, I want you to sit with your back against the back of your seat, with your legs hanging down, because this is God's house. And you're sitting on God's furniture. And we need to show his house respect. And that way, we'll show him that we respect him too, okay? If you have anything in your hands, even if it's your Bible, will you set it beside you? Because we're going to need our hands in just a minute. Now, this is very important that we feel Jesus, and I'm going to tell you why. Because if you feel Jesus, He's going to help you with everything. He's going to give you power. And one of these days, really soon, Jesus is coming back to the earth and He's taking His best friends to heaven with Him. And that means if you want to be best friends with Jesus, you have to talk to Him. You have to use your voice. You have to say things like, hallelujah. Let's say it on the count of three. You ready? One, two, three. Hallelujah. Now, this time, I want you just to close your eyes because we're going to say hallelujah again. But when you say hallelujah, I want you to think about Jesus, okay? So close your eyes and think about Jesus. And now on the count of three, say hallelujah and really mean it, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Hallelujah! Let's do it again. Hallelujah! Let's do it again. Hallelujah! Let's do it again. Hallelujah! That's Jesus you're talking to. And hallelujah is the highest praise that you can give Him. But it only really works when it comes from your heart. Because I can stand up here and say hallelujah 150 times, and if I don't mean it, it doesn't mean anything. But when you realize Jesus created everything, He created the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and the little fishes in the sea and the big fishes in the sea. He created everything. But you know what? He loves you more than any of His creations He's ever made. Because He loves you the best. And He wants you to go to heaven with Him. So today, we're going to do the four steps of worship. Because with these four steps of worship, you can really tell Jesus how much you really love Him. And this isn't just for the kids in here. This is for everyone. Consider where Jesus has brought you out of, where you are today. You may think, well, I don't have all the money that I need. Well, you know what? You don't need all the money you think you need. You know, this is Jesus. He knows what you need. So today, if you're suffering from poor health, Jesus can help you with that. He can either bring you through it or He can help you through it. So today, let's talk to Jesus with these four steps of worship, okay? Okay, now remember, kids, I want you to sit with your back against the back of your seat, with your legs hanging down. Don't worry about your shoes right now, okay? You can tie your shoes later, okay? All right, great. The very first step in the steps of worship is very easy, and that's just to close your eyes for Jesus. Now, you need to do these things for Jesus. Because again, Jesus is taking His best friends to heaven. And Jesus is watching you right now. And if you're not closing your eyes, He's thinking, they don't want to be my best friend. They don't want to go to heaven. They don't want to feel me. And all I'm asking them to do is close their eyes today so that they can shut everything out of their minds except for me. I want my children to feel me today. Jesus is looking at you right now. And if you have your eyes closed, He's smiling. And if you don't, Jesus is frowning a little because He's disappointed. Jesus gave His life for you when He died on a cross 2,000 years ago. And all He's asking of you today is just to close your eyes, so that you can shut everything out of your mind except for one thing. Jesus wants you to think about Him. And He even wants you to remember how much He suffered on the cross for you. So today, I want you to picture with your eyes closed Jesus on the cross. He gave His life again for you so that you might be with him in heaven. And he's not asking for a whole bunch from you. He just really wants you to be his best friend. So keep your eyes closed for Jesus. The second step is just to lift your face just a little bit. Not so much that you hurt your neck, but just a little bit. So Jesus can see that beautiful face that he created. And he can see right into your heart to see if you really mean these four steps. To see if you really do want to go to heaven someday. The third step in the steps of worship is just to raise both of your hands for Jesus. Because Jesus raised his hands for us when he died on the cross. And when he raised his hands, they pounded great big long nails into his hands. But Jesus did that for you. He knew how much pain there was going to be. He knew he was going to have to suffer. He knew he was going to have to die. But the only thing he could think of is how much he loves you. We are going to have such a wonderful time in heaven. Being with a Savior, a Creator, that died for us, that gave his all. And the fourth step, this is the most important step, because when you said hallelujah a few minutes ago, and you meant it, you got Jesus' attention. He's walking these aisles right now, and he's saying, my people are calling me. My people want me to be there, and I'm going to be there. Jesus is here today, and he wants to touch you. And the only thing he's looking for right now is for you to call on his name from your heart, for you to say words of love and adoration to him. Tell him how much you love him. Ask him to forgive you of anything wrong in your heart. Jesus is here today. Let's reach out to him right now. You can feel Jesus in a mighty way. Oh, I love you, Jesus, and I praise your name. I worship you, Lord, with all my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to touch each and every person here today, Lord. Break down the walls, Lord, that keep people from reaching you. You are so wonderful, Lord, and we need you today. We need you today. That's it, boys. You're doing great. Come on, girls. The boys are louder than you are. Use a loud voice for Jesus today. Oh, I love you, Jesus. That's it. That's it. Oh, Jesus loves your tears. He loves your tears. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing right now. Oh, we feel you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give him high praise. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voices and worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says when we worship him, he comes in to inhabit our praise. Aren't you glad you're in a church today where you can lift your voice? You can raise your hands. You have liberty and freedom to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. There are places where people cannot worship the Lord. We have liberty today in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we can have a good time. Hallelujah. We're having a celebration Sunday today. I am so happy to be back in Madison, Wisconsin with you. If I started naming all the faces in this building that I love, we would be here till sometime next week. So we don't have time for that, but consider yourself hugged and loved. And don't accuse me of only coming to Madison because those two little leopard darlings that walk through here with the cardboard are mine. Don't accuse me of that, because I loved you first. Long before the fairy tale happened. And my precious son-in-law, Justin Wall, married my beautiful daughter, Sarah Wall, and they gave us a double blessing. And Jesus anointed and touched their union. I am so thankful. But always remember, I loved you first. This is the highlight of my year. We were in 53 churches last year. Yeah. Someone said, "What's wrong with you? Can't you say no?" I said, "Not as long as I feel like it's what Jesus is requiring of me. And he gives me strength. But I'm so glad to be at what I consider my second home. And I love you all very much. And I have a message for you today. I heard from the Lord, and we're going to get this done real quick, and Jesus is going to pour out his spirit. This is going to be a Holy Ghost Sunday. If you are sitting here and you don't have the Holy Ghost, today is your day. Consider it done. And in the midst of that, there is going to be a hand of healing come down in this service. There are several folks that are in need, and we are going to have some healing and some miracles happen today. Well, do we need to call folks out and call them up and get it, you know, just start getting God to move on this? Do you know the apostles walked by people? Just walked by them, and the presence of the Lord healed them? We can have that today, you know. Don't underestimate what Jesus is going to do in Family Crusade today. Thank you, Brother Solberg, for your kind words. We love this couple. They're doing a tremendous job with your children, with the Sunday school. Hallelujah. And I give honor today to our pastor, Brother Roy Grant, my brother from another mother. Hallelujah. I highly esteem this couple, and Bishop Grant and his wife. They are here somewhere. I believe he slipped out, but we just give them honor. Do you know he was elected into the Hall of Fame? They don't call it that, but I do. It is the Hall of Fame for the United Pentecostal Church International. There was never a man more deserving of that honor and his wife than this couple. Hallelujah. I am so excited that they have received this great honor. Hallelujah. That's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Now, why don't you just stay standing with me as they put on the screen Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And we're going to quote it or read it out loud together. While they're getting that, thank you again, Pastor, for allowing us to come back again. Once again, I think I look back in the records in 1998 was the first year that we were here. That's a long time ago. And a lot of you that were here as children now are young adults and have babies of your own. You just don't know how that makes me feel. Three letters, old. Let's read it, quote it together. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Turn to your neighbor and say, "I want the gift." And you may be seated. Now, don't forget to put your back up against the back of your seat with your legs hanging down. If you're a wiggly kid, hook your hands together and hold on tight. If your legs start swinging, hook your ankles together. I don't want anybody to get up and go out while I'm talking. You stay right here with me. Say, "Sister Oliver, that's kind of hard." You know what? They don't get up in school and walk out anytime they want. You're not babies anymore, so you stay right here with me. I'm going to see what side is the best behaved, the girls or the boys. Put your back up against the back of the seat. I'm going to be watching, okay? Thank you for letting me take care of that. How many of you want me to hurry and get done? how would you like to be up here trying to speak? Okay, you be real good and I'll hurry, okay? All right, stay right here with me. We read Acts chapter 2. That's the book of salvation. When you read that, what that means is Jesus is getting ready to do something wonderful. He is. While we did those four steps of worship, there were children with tears rolling down their cheeks. You know what that means? They're ready to receive their gift. I brought with me today a birthday table. I understand there's some birthdays this weekend, and I'd like to tell you that I set this all up for you and I was thinking about you, but I didn't. Happy birthday, but this is not about you today. Every time we walk through those doors, we have come to celebrate. This is a celebration today. Celebration Sunday. What are we celebrating? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ought to get excited every time we come to church because we're coming to a party, to a celebration. So those of you that haven't quite gotten it yet, notify your face that you're not at the funeral home. You're making me a nervous wreck. Notify your face that you're happy to be here. Everybody take a deep breath. Exhale. You're in a safe place today. Just enjoy yourself as I present to you this message simply called, Everyone is Invited. Everyone is invited. I taught kindergarten for several years before the Lord called me into full-time ministry. That was 21 years ago. Being a kindergarten teacher, you learn very quickly that not everyone wants to be with you. When their parents drop them off, there are always several that cry like it is the end of the world, sometimes for 2 weeks. You have to learn how to deal with that because there are no alternatives. They can't leave. They got to stay there. And they don't want to be with you. You know why they don't want to be with you? Because they want to be home. They've been with mommy or daddy or both or grandma. Somebody that adores them. That the whole world revolves around them. Snack time and play time and do what you want time. And now they've got a schedule and somebody's making them sit in a chair. Somebody's saying, no, you can't eat anything right now. It's very shocking. And so you have to be the bad guy. And there are many techniques that kindergarten teacher will use. And finally, you just get them settled in and they start making friends and they stop crying. And you feel so relieved because you're doing your job and it's finally working. I mean, you got to teach these little people how to read. When I was a kid, all we learned how to do was eat cookies and open milk cartons. Now they have to know how to read when they leave kindergarten. And so getting them settled in is so important. And I remember just as I got them all settled in and I saw them making buddies and they were all pretty much happy to be there now, something happened. A little boy came in class on a Monday morning. He said, Teacher, I have something I have to do. I said, What would that be? Well, my mama said, I have to give these to the kids. I said, okay, the bell hasn't rung yet. You may pass them out to the children. And so that little boy started passing out little white envelopes. I watched from my desk as he went from one to another. And there was a particular little boy that he'd been playing with on the playground. He'd been eating lunch with. And I was watching his face and just watching the activity as he said, Here, you get one and... And you do, no, you don't. You do, here you. And you do, no, you don't. You get one, you do. I watched him pass out all of his little white envelopes. I watched the faces of the children that did not get one. See, mommy said, we're having a party. There's 29 in your class, but we can't have 29 kids. You may invite 10. And so he picked out 10 of his favorite kids to come to the party. Here are these little people that are just now getting used to being away from mommy and all that attention and love. And they have to watch the other kids open up an invitation. I watch their little faces as the other kids are saying, "Wow, you're having a party? You're going to have a bounce house? I'm coming. Man, that's going to be so fun. It's next Saturday at 2 o'clock. Okay, I'm going to ask my mom. I'm going to come." And the other little kids are swallowing real hard and the tears are welling up in their eyes. And especially the little boy that had been eating lunch with this little boy that played with him on the playground. What happened? He didn't get an invitation. As a teacher, you have to sit back and realize that what happened there was that first experience with rejection had occurred. Everybody's always loved me. I've been the apple of mommy's eye. I've been at home with mommy, and everything's always been beautiful in my world until right now. And somebody doesn't want me. Sometimes I'd have to take children aside and dry tears and try to talk them down a little because they're so frantic about not being invited. It's a horrible thing to have rejection occur in your life. But may I remind us all in this family crusade that that little time in kindergarten is only the first of many to follow. When a boss gives you a pink slip, when somebody said, "I'm going to love you forever," and they ran around on you. When somebody said, "Here, I want a divorce, I want loose from you." When somebody that's supposed to love you, a parent, someone in your life that's supposed to be your caretaker, hurts you and abuses you, rejection, you begin to think, "What's wrong with me? Why does everybody in my life hurt me?" I want to remind you today that there are people every single service sitting on these seats that are waiting for somebody to say, "You don't really belong here. You're never going to fit in here." Waiting for that moment of rejection when something is done or said that turns them away one more time. But I want you to know today that there is an invitation to this celebration. Oh, yes, there is. There is an invitation. And it didn't come because somebody asked you or because somebody put a flyer on your door. It didn't come because you were special or smart or good looking. Nope. The invitation reads, it's in the Word of God, and it says, "Whosoever will, let him come." Anybody that wants to drink of the water can drink freely. Let him come. That's the invitation to this celebration. Hallelujah. You've come to a party today. You don't have to be afraid around here. Nobody's going to hurt you. You're going to have a good time. Don't let the devil keep you from coming to church. This is a celebration. Nobody dreads going to a party. You get that invitation? Man, I'm going. They have the best parties over there. I'm going. It's going to be so fun. That ought to be our attitude every time those doors are open. I'm going to church. I don't know what's going to happen today. It's going to be exciting. Hallelujah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a celebration. Because you see, someone has done some work to set up the party. Oh, yes. When there is a party, mom goes out and she buys decorations. She does. She works hard to make it special. She gets a cake. She plans the whole thing. She sets it all up. It costs her a lot. Mom doesn't get up the morning of the party and say, I hate parties and I wish I didn't have to have this dumb party for you. I wish I didn't even have to go to your dumb party. Mom doesn't say that. The Bible says the mother is the church. You and I have to grow up and be the mom and get the table ready and come in here with a smile on our face, no matter how we feel, because there are folks that need to come to the table. There are folks that need the gift today of the Holy Ghost. So you and I have to be mom and put a smile on our face. Hallelujah. The mother is the church. Mom gets it all ready. Hallelujah. You know, when you're invited to a party, you're supposed to bring something. You get the invitation, and your little friend's having a party. So you go to your friend, and you say, what do you want me to bring you? I can't believe how grown up all you little kids are over here. What happened to you? You're getting older, I'm not. It's amazing. Yeah. That was my ADHD. I got distracted. You're supposed to bring something, and you don't want to bring something they don't like. So you go and say, what is it you collect? What do you want for your birthday? Oh, I collect Legos. I want the Star Wars Legos. Oh, yes. Oh, I collect Frozen. I want the Frozen dolls, all of them. Oh, yes. Anything Frozen? Yes, I have a collection. It's the coolest thing to get somebody something they really like. They gave us this big, beautiful basket. Sister Nicole made it up, and it had things in it we love, like cheese, the one shaped in a cow. It's already gone. We collect cheese. You ask people what they collect, what do you like, and then you come bring it to the party. You don't come to their party without bringing something. You came to a celebration today. I certainly hope you brought something with you. So, well, Sister Oliver, I didn't know. I didn't buy anything because I didn't know. Well, we came to celebrate Jesus. You come to his party on Sunday. You're supposed to bring something. But Sister Oliver, I didn't know. I don't know what Jesus likes. Oh, he has a collection. Jesus doesn't collect Frozen. No, he doesn't care about Legos either. But Jesus does have a collection. And if you don't know what it is he collects, I'm here to tell you today. All you have to do is bring the present to the table when we get ready to pray here in just a few minutes. You bring the present to the birthday boy. The table is the altar. You come walking right up here and you say, here, Jesus, here's your present I brought you. And you give it to Jesus. And you know what it is? Hold that for me. You bring Jesus what he collects. He collects hearts. Jesus collects hearts. Dirty ones, broken ones, bruised ones, battered ones, shattered ones, marred ones, hurting ones. Whatever shape it's in, that's what he wants. That's what he collects. You just come to this altar and bring him your gift, the gift of your heart. And all you have to do is repent. The Bible says repent. That means ask Jesus to take your heart. You're giving him your heart. Jesus, I'm sorry for the bad things I've done. Please forgive me. Please clean out my heart. And I'm not going to do them anymore. I'm going to try real hard not to do those bad things anymore. That's repentance. The minute you hand him the gift of your heart, oh, yes, he opens up his presence. And what he finds is the same thing he finds with everybody's heart. Because we're all born with a dirty heart. You know why he did that? Because he knew how we would be. we would say, well, I am just 7 years old, and I've never told a lie, and I don't cheat, and I don't steal things, so I don't have a real dirty heart. But now that guy that murdered somebody, he's got a real dirty heart. You know what? Jesus, in his wisdom, set this whole thing up where we all start out the same way. Because it doesn't matter if you're 7 years old, your heart's already dirty because you're born with a dirty heart. The Bible says we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And then the second thing you find out is Jesus is not like everybody else. He's not going to reject you because of what your heart looks like. If I let you see in my heart, you let me look in yours, we'd be like, you did all that? You better cry some more. Oh, we're real hard on each other. But not Jesus. He doesn't even look in there. The minute you say you're sorry, with one sweep of his hand, he cleans out your heart. Hallelujah. Then you've really given Jesus your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It feels so good when your heart's all clean. Say, so, I'm going to come and do that, Sister Oliver. Listen to Sister Oliver, you have to use your mouth. Nobody can say, oh, Jesus, this little boy is so sorry. Please forgive him. And Jesus is going to say, no, he has to say it himself. Nobody can repent for you. You got to do it yourself. You got to bring the gift yourself to the birthday boy. And then, you know, when I was a little kid, I'd go to birthday parties, and one I remember was my cousin Rhea. She's 9 months younger than me. We liked all the same things. And so I'd go out and buy something for her, and I wouldn't ask her what she liked because I knew what she liked. And so I'd get her something I really liked. And I remember one year when we were real little, like 6, 7 years old, and I was going to a party the next day. All the family was going to be there. And the gift was all wrapped up. And I remember I got up that morning and I started thinking about that gift. I said, Mom, my head is kind of hurting and my stomach's sick, and I think I got a raging fever. My mom said, you are going to that party and you're not keeping that gift. Moms always know that stuff. Your heart belongs to Jesus. Quit trying to keep it. It doesn't belong to you. He paid for it on an old rugged cross. Hallelujah. Quit making up excuses and just give it back to him. And then when you bring your gift to a party, and the birthday boy opens the gift, and everybody says, oh, that's so nice. Oh, that's so pretty. Oh, that's neat. And everybody watches. And then it's time to go. You bounced in the bounce house, and you ate pizza and cake, and now your mom and dad are there, and it's time to go home. And your mom comes and gets you by the hand and says, come on, we got to go. Say goodbye. And you're going out the door, and you say, bye, bye. And all of a sudden, you come running back. Wait a minute, I want my gift back. I want my gift back. Wait a minute. Give me the gift I brought. I want to take it back. People will be talking about you everywhere. You don't take back what you brought for the birthday boy. So don't come and take your heart back when you leave today and say, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to live how I want all week long. You don't just give Jesus your heart on Sunday. It belongs to him. Once you give it to him, it belongs to him. This is a celebration. It's a party. Aren't you glad you came? We haven't even got to the good part yet. The good part's when you get to come around the table and open the gifts. Every little kid says, can I open my gifts now? Can I open my gifts now? Can I open my gifts now? And Mom says, shh, be nice. She don't want people to hear you saying that. But I want to open my gifts. Look at all those presents. I don't open my gifts. Shh, in a little bit. That's what you're waiting on, see? You're having to endure this message, waiting to get to the gift part. That ought to be how we feel every time we come. We ought to be turning to our neighbor and saying, is it time for the gift yet? Is it time for the gifts yet? Is it time to go to the front yet? Can we go up to the table and open our gifts yet? Wouldn't that be cool if everybody came like that? I don't know why you don't. Because Jesus has the best gifts of all. And all you have to do is come and give him your heart. And when you do, you begin to thank him. You know what? I'm going to let you come to the keyboard to give these people hope. Where are you? Just, you know, some people say in 5 minutes. Some people say, I'm almost done 70 times. I just say, come to the keyboard. Now you're doing real good. The girls are being a little wiggly right now. I'm watching. You didn't think I was watching. You come to the table and you line up. And the gift is all prepared. And what happens is somebody hands you your gift to open. And while they're handing it to you, the same thing happens every time. When you hand someone a gift, they have to reach out to take it. That's why we raise our hands, two of them. We're reaching out to get our gift. And when somebody hands you a gift, what do? The minute they reach it towards you, you say, oh, thank you. Isn't that what we do? Oh, thank you. You shouldn't have. Oh, thank you so much. That's how easy it is to receive your gift. You don't have to come up here and pray for 2 hours and squall and bawl. And be good enough because everybody's invited. You don't have to wait until you've had a Bible study and understand it all. Oh, I'm all about the Bible studies. But you can receive it before you understand it at all. Because it's a gift. And you know what? When I handed her that, she's just saying, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. She doesn't know what's in there. Might be a dead squirrel. Might be my dirty socks. But you know why she just thanked me? Because she trusts me. At some point, you got to trust the Lord. And just make your way to the table and reach out and say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for this gift. Now, I've never seen anybody that saw a gift that their eyes didn't light up. We read that scripture that we read today. Could have said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. But it didn't say that. It said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know why I think that's in there? So nobody would be afraid. So the littlest child would want it. So we'd know that you don't have to know what's in there when you start thanking him for it. You don't have to have it all figured out. All you have to do is just like the little child. Oh, thank you. Once your heart's cleaned out, you've repented, you can stop crying. You don't have to ask. You just begin to thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gift. Just a few weeks back, I was talking about the gift, and there was a little old lady sitting on the end of the second row. She had a walker out in the aisle, and I would have guessed her to be around 80. She was pretty thin and frail, and she had her little walker, and she was listening. And I was just in the middle of my message, and the Lord said, there's a spirit of death on her, I'm getting ready to take her home. She's not ready. I want you to tell her. When I ask people to come to the table to open their gifts, they lined up like we're going to do in just a few minutes. Anybody that wants their gift will receive it today. And then I made my way back to Grandma. I said, Grandma, the Lord spoke to me about you. He's getting ready to take you home. Have you received the gift? She said, no, ma'am. I've been baptized in Jesus' name, but I don't have my gift. I said, do you want it? Oh, please. I said, well, I can pray for you right here. She said, no, I want to go to the table. She got out with her little walker, and it took her a few minutes. She made her way right up here in the middle. She put those frail arms up in the air. She said, oh, Jesus, I want to meet you. I want to be ready. Thank you for my gift. Thank you, Jesus, for my gift. And I mean immediately, she began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Jesus handed her her gift. All she had to do was take it. The gift. That's what you're coming for today. And you can open it any way you want, because it's your gift. But everybody gets the same thing. The gift of a brand new heart. Hallelujah. The Bible says He takes away our stony heart and gives us a brand new heart. We're going to know we've got that new heart because that's where Jesus lives. He fills us up all the way to the top. And He keeps filling us and filling us until it gets to our mouth and our lip and tongue wiggles. Strange words come to our mind. And when those strange words come to your mind, the devil will say, you're making those up. He'll say, that's way too easy. And you say, opening a gift is easy. I'm not making it up. That's how easy it is. Jesus did the hard part when He bought you your gift on the cross. It cost Him everything. Grandma's talking in tongues. Her little hands just going. The church was rejoicing. I went and hugged her and I said, I want your picture, Grandma. I got her picture by the table. I want your picture, Grandma. I said, now, how old are you? She said, I'll be 92 in 2 weeks. Never too young, never too old to open a gift. I got a call in 3 weeks. They were having Grandma's celebration service. She was going home from this party to the next one. Because this celebration is going to continue for all eternity. Why wouldn't we want it? Now, when you stand up, you're halfway up here. So would you stand to your feet with me? And I'd like for the altar workers in this church to assemble with me right now. Very quickly come across the front. And while they're coming, I need you to stay focused for a moment and listen. They are not here to annoy you, to touch you, to be a bother to you. They are here to help you. How are they going to help me, Sister Oliver? Well, you're coming to the table. They're going to hand you your gift. They're going to help Jesus minister to you. He's going to use them. So when you come, if you need to tell them something, that you need prayer for, they'll help you pray. But again, they're not going to bother you. Don't let this be overwhelming to you. I am going to take a walk around this building. If there is someone that you want your gift, but you just cannot make yourself walk up here, I want you to flag me down. I'm going to pray with you right at your seat, and you're going to receive your gift at your seat. Well, Sister Oliver, why would you do that? I'll tell you why. Because there's earthquakes in diverse places. Because there's signs in the heavens. Because there's pestilence on the earth, and it's come to the United States of America. Are you afraid, Sister Oliver? I'm not afraid. You can't threaten me with heaven. But I'm here to warn you, you ought to be afraid today if you haven't come to the table. We've got it all ready for you. It'll never be more easy or more plain than I've made it for you today. So as we close our eyes and raise our face and lift our hands, and as the church begins to intercede, some of you are intercessors. I need you to get down on your seat and begin to intercede. Those of you that have not received your gift, will you get out and walk to the front now? If you know of someone that does not have their gift, please bring them. Teachers, please bring the children forward. I want every adult, every teenager that doesn't have their gift to come. Today's your day. In the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Your heart, fresh anointing, renew a right spirit.